What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I want to ask you about the Ohio State quarterback situation coming up here in a little bit. 216-474-0092. We got Rapine coming on. James Rapine, Locked On Bengals, SI, 721 this morning. Whether or not the Browns could actually land Trey Hendrickson, and whether or not Mike Brown could just put the sword down for a moment. Because we haven't made a trade with that team in all 57 years of their existence, so why would we be able to make a trade now? Speaking of teams in the AFC North, I thought this was trashy. I thought it was low class. When we come to, like, when it comes to personnel, every team has skeletons in the closet. I'm not going to sit there and throw stones. Not going to happen. But I think that you can do a right faith thing. When the Titans do their old Oilers uniforms and they do them against Houston, I think it's a low class move. I think it's trashy.
I'm surprised the NFL allows that one.
When you're going to have your 30th season celebration and you're going to do it on September 14th and you're going to do it against the Browns, I think it's a low-class, trashy thing to do.
100%.
You agree?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, it preserves the rivalry.
I think it's great for the rivalry. And I don't know, does Baltimore think they have a rivalry with us or not? This might be one of those, we think it's a rivalry. I don't know. Especially, like, think about how long it's been now where there's so many young fans that don't know anything about the lineage of the Ravens. I mean, unless they care to look it up or Google or... They asked their parents about how long they've been around. What about the players on these teams?
Remember, Jarvis Landry famously didn't know the Ravens used to be the Browns. Because, I mean, it's a different generation now. I mean, I'm approaching 40 years old.
Crazy to think about.
It is different. And there are plenty of guys who don't grow up fervent, knowing football fans, knowing the players and all that stuff and the teams like a lot of us do as kids. But I look at the schedule there, and I go, you can't pick any other day to celebrate your 30th anniversary. You have to do against the Browns.
No, that's it. That's exactly the day they wanted to pick.
It's your home opener, but you could have done it on September 22nd against the Lions. And Joe Flacco is going to be your starter. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl with the Ravens.
Right.
Do you ask Joe to walk over?
Yeah, are they going to celebrate Joe Flacco? Are they going to put his name up? And he'll get a cheer. It's not like they're going to boo Joe Flacco. I don't think any of them are worried about Joe Flacco being on the Browns while they got Lamar Jackson. So it'll probably be a warm and fuzzy moment for their fans.
They're doing a Super Bowl reunion, Super Bowl 35 reunion against Pittsburgh, but that's Sunday, December 7th. So you can't tell me you can't wait a week to have your 30th season celebration. I find it to be a shot at fans. I find it to be picking in a wound that we're trying to heal. Art Modell's been dead for a while, and even then, it seems that you guys still made out on it over there because you have, I don't want to call him Steve Buscemi. Bisciotti, thank you. Be a hell of a thing if Steve Buscemi owned the Ravens. Maybe I changed my tune a little bit. I really love that guy. Bisciotti's the owner. A lot of people say glowing things about him as an owner and letting people be involved and letting people do their work, and that's it. You've won two Super Bowls. We have the win over the Steelers. Lima, I mean, what do I have? I can't really argue anything with a Ravens fan when it comes to on-field over the last 30 seasons. I don't have much.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Browns don't have a lot of... It's not a lot of wars we can win when we're doing trash talk. I mean, with Pittsburgh, we can at least say we beat them in that playoff game. I know most Pittsburgh fans will diminish that immediately and... talk about their Super Bowls, which I understand. That's how it works when you're trash talking. You try to bring out the bigger guns. With Baltimore, what do we have? What do
that
we have
second
at all?
Half yeah. In Baltimore?
We have the Deshaun Watson second half.
We have the we have the kick six. We have the run into the bathroom game that went against us. We have, what was it, Jason Campbell, where they couldn't run the ball, so they had to get rid of the ball with time. You and I watched that game together at somebody's apartment in the warehouse district. I was meeting a significant other of yours for the first time. It ended up not being a significant other, but folks, that was years ago, clearly. Kind of liked her. Kind of like you two together. Anywho, that's about it. That's about it. I got to see Deion Sanders last game against the Browns. Then they beat the Ravens that day. But other than that, I got nothing. So that's
nothing. They beat them week two, and then the Ravens won 14 in a row.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, there was that. The Gary Barnage butt catch.
Yes.
Crotch catch, whatever you want to call it. There was that. But honestly, I got nothing else. And to me, the players on the Myles Garrett getting ready for the game does not care about their 30th celebration. He'll be in the locker room doing God knows what. I don't think he pays attention to anything on the scoreboards. I don't think any of the players are paying attention to anything on the scoreboards or anything like that. But for us, this is why I'm bothered by it. It feels immensely personal. It feels like, hey, you guys have kept Art out and made a big stink about Art not being in the Hall of Fame. So we're going to stick it to you here with this chance.
Oh, is that
we have you on the schedule. We'll stick it to you here. You guys sit there and call us the Ratbirds and all this stuff. We took your team, and we're going to stick it to you right here. That's the way it feels to me. And am I a little bit sensitive about it? Hell yeah, I'm a little bit sensitive about it. I you know what? I'm very sensitive about it. Because my team hasn't been the same.
It's amazing. I just looked it up. Joe Flacco, if you include that Jets ridiculous come from behind, which was... Amazingly enough, was that 3 years ago? Was that 4 years ago when he was the Jets? And now if we would have told you then, he's the starting quarterback for the Browns. He was 18-3.
I might not have been too terribly surprised.
Flacco 18-3 against the Browns. You know, Lamar Jackson is only 8-5 against the Browns. Is that a feather in the JOK cap?
It's something. I don't know.
That is unbelievable.
Well, the Browns have been a better team than what most of the teams that Joe Flacco took on, but that's not saying too terribly much.
Yeah, but these Ravens teams have been, regular season-wise, as good as any of those Ravens teams, except for maybe two of them.
Regardless, for a team that's done some classy things, I've given the Ravens credit for that. I think it's a low-class trash move.
What do we do?
And I wish their team nothing but the absolute worst this year.
What do we do about, like, Joe Flacco, is he going to be asked about this? And what reception he might receive.
Obviously.
Do we want Joe...
You can't tell the story of the Ravens in 30 years without Joe Flacco.
Do we want Joe to also be a part of that embrace, or do we want him to be like, no, you're the rivals now? Like, can we ask Joe, because he's going to be our starting quarterback, at least we think he's going to be our starting quarterback.
They've announced it.
For that game.
I hope that he'll be still the starting quarterback going into week two. But never say never.
Do we want Joe to put his game face on and not react, or do we have to expect Joe to be nice because they're going to give him a warm reception?
I think probably the latter, because this is a legacy thing. You want to super, regardless of what I want to say about how I feel about this move, and clearly everybody knows how I feel about it. Joe's a big part of that team's history, that organization's history. I think that you have to understand that some things are bigger than just this season. This is legacy here. And you always want to be welcome back to an organization and to a fan base that you did significant things with. And I know Lamar Jackson's the MVP, but he was the first one that really... Hey, Trent Dilfer, that was a defensive team. He was the first one to really do it. So, yeah, Joe's probably going to have to play nice. And frankly, I think Joe's probably going to be happy he's not answering questions about his age and being a mentor and all that other crap that you can tell he just wants to roll his eyes about and tell everybody to shut up about. So I hate that we're doing this. I hate that they're doing it. And again,
But if you're big about preserving these rivalries, this is a good step for this rivalry, right?
Yeah, I guess. But I got my own problems I got to figure out here. I got four quarterbacks here, including Joe. You said, is Joe going to be the quarterback in week two? Hopefully he would be the quarterback in week two performance-wise. Obviously, I can't foresee any injury. God forbid something like that would happen. I want to ask you, though. Joe's a starter. How long's the leash? Now, I don't know who's backing him up yet. We don't know officially who's going to be his number two. But
yeah,
how long's the leash?
I imagine if the Browns were 0-3, right? That would be...
Man, that early.
Yeah, that would be the talk.
That early?
Yeah, because if you're 0-3, you're not making... The playoff stuff is going to be pretty damn negative in that locker room. If they're 0-3, guys are going to start thinking about, man, what is this season all about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got all these veterans. You know, it's very rare for a team that is forecasted to be this bad to have this many good veterans. So you wonder about that.
God, 0-3 seems to be very soon.
And the thing is,
if it's three games, then I forget what I said about maybe stashing away Kenny Pickett on IR. Then I think it's had to be Kenny Pickett.
Right. I think that would happen.
I don't know if you could just throw Shador or Dylan Gabriel out there like that.
Because the other thing is, how are those guys getting better? This is the other part of this process. Those guys are not really going to have the chance now that it's Joe's team and Joe's the starting quarterback. You know, you'll have the preseason game this week, and that's just about it. Everything is going to be about getting the Browns ready with Joe Flacco as the quarterback, not about determining who's the backup or any of that stuff. I mean, they'll still be going through evaluations. You know, the other interesting thing is the Browns, you realize they have not been 0-2 since the 0-16 year. They had a tie following year, but they have not been 0-2. So think about the bad teams the Browns have had. They have not been 0-2. They've always given the fans some reason for optimism in one of those early games.
I think I'm willing to go as far as if things are starting out really bad, I think when you come back from the London game, I think that maybe there's some changes that are made. Now, that first game back would be against the Steelers, but you guys know what I say. They're all NFL football teams. They're all tough. So I don't know if that's – I don't think that that makes a difference to me.
Yeah, do we even know if the Steelers are going to be that good?
216-474-0092. So Joe Flacco is your starter. How long's the leash? How long's your leash on Joe? Browns getting set to take on the Rams coming up on Saturday. It's their dress rehearsal. This guy usually joins us to talk about the Bengals during around the AFC North. We want to get him for a few minutes. Browns have been linked to Trey Hendrickson. And I have farted on it the whole time, saying, well, there's no chance because it's the Browns and Bengals, and they'll never make a trade with each other. But maybe there's a chance, or maybe one day, maybe some way, somehow, I wonder if the rest of the family's going, Grandpa, Uncle, Mike, whatever it is, please, Dad, please, you're hamstringing us with trades, incredible trades that we can make because you won't trade with the Cleveland Browns. All right, James Rapine joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. He used to be part of the staff here at 92.3 The Fan for a cup of coffee, but now he's back in his hometown of Cincinnati. He likes the chili. He likes the river. He likes the Bengals. He likes the Reds, and he likes the Bearcats, and he joins us right now. James, good morning.
Good morning, Ken. How are you?
We're doing well. What are the percentage chances that the Browns could get Trey Hendrickson?
1%, maybe less than that, but probably 1%. And it isn't just because of Uncle Mike. I'll go with Uncle Mike. It has a ring to it.
Why isn't it just because Uncle Mike?
Because the asking price is going to be part of what Uncle Mike is looking at. But let's just say that he set a really high asking price and was willing to trade Trey Hendrickson to the Browns. Do you think Andrew Berry is going to want to meet that asking price?
I think
it's going to be too hard to find common ground.
Do you think that Andrew is desperate enough to meet that asking price, though, considering the situation that the Browns are currently in?
If you're him, I mean, I guess maybe, right? He could look at that. And the idea of Myles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson together is wild to me, like in a scary way. And by the way, storylines wise for the opener, it would be great. But what are you giving up? I mean, are you giving up a future first? Because if it's a future first for the rest of the league, then it's a future first and then another premium pick, I would say. If you're the Bengals, are you giving up Mason Graham? That's the one I threw out there on social media. Who says no? Mason Graham for Trey Hendrickson straight up.
I think none of us say yes.
I agree with that. It doesn't really make sense for the Browns, and I'm not sure it makes sense for the Bengals. And so it's a hard situation to find a path to where it would make sense for Trey Hendrickson to head up 71, even though I did, you're right, for the cup of coffee, head up 71 and join the Browns.
Does Trey Hendrickson get more and more leverage every time the Cincinnati Bengals defense hits the field and puts on a display, even in a preseason game like last night?
My goodness. I don't even know if Trey can solve what I saw last night. 7 plays, 118 yards. I think it was 106 rushing yards. 2 touchdowns. It's pretty poor. 3 touchdowns on 4 drives for the first team defense. 2 of those touchdowns were against backup offenses. Yeah, it has been ugly this preseason. There's no doubt about it. So they need to figure it out. It looks so not even similar, worse than it did last season.
How nervous do you get when Joe Burrow plays in the preseason?
When he's doing the whirly, twirly, swirly stuff.
I saw that last night, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that those are the moments in training camp, the practices, when he starts to go off script like that. And then certainly in preseason games, you're like, all right, man, like, it's not worth it. It was very much like the broadcast when they said, it's August, Joe, just get down. That's certainly how I felt in the moment.
When Uncle Mike officially hands over the reins to the family, I don't want to talk morbid or anything like that. That'd be crazy. Let's not go nuts here. Good God.
Sure.
But when he officially hands over the reins to the rest of the family, does that lax a little bit? Because I've always been under the understanding that unless the Browns were doing something that was completely nonsensical, that they were going to be giving up way too much, where it was a deal too good, like giving up a second and a third for A.J. McCarron, for crying out loud, that they would never make a trade ever with the Browns because of the history.
Yeah.
Does that lax at all after he's done?
Maybe, because he was around for it. He felt it in the moment, the history, and the family didn't necessarily, even though they're aware of it. But I'm still not sure. It's not like if the Steelers saw the Bengals and they want Trey Hendrickson, and I know that isn't a fit, but it's not like they're going to be like, oh, okay, let's give him to the Steelers and it's going to be way less.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think the asking price is sky high. But yeah, there are feelings there that I'm sure from Mike that aren't going to go away ever.
Why do you, James Rapine, still defend the Bengals and how cheap they are?
Wow.
I see it all the time on social media.
Interesting.
Every time. You keep telling people that they want to argue about why the Bengals just can't pay the guys like other NFL teams.
Like, they're not the Reds.
Yeah, what's going on
here,
James?
This isn't baseball. Oh. There's a cap.
Wow. All right. Well, do I defend them? I think that I'm honest about each situation. They do need to pay Trey Hendrickson. It's August. It's not March. And the time to trade him would have been in March before free agency, so they could have used that money elsewhere. They didn't. So how do you get better? By having Trey Hendrickson on the field. So I'm with you, fellas. Got to pay him. I think they will. I still think it gets done. I think a lot of this back and forth is exactly that.
I would hope so, because yesterday it looked like garbage in so many ways. Find him on Twitter. James, thank you very much for the time.
So you're hoping to see Trey Hendrickson sack Joe Flacco on September 7th. That's what you're saying, Ken.
I mean, for your own sake, I don't want to see him sack, but...
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm talking from a 30,000-foot perspective here. I'm talking about your team. I have to look at it analytically, don't I? Is everything? Do I have to sit there and root for everything against my teams?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media. And use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
For my teams here?
I thought that's what you were doing. That's all. I thought that's what you were doing.
Well, obviously I want the Browns to win, but I think it's completely nonsensical for you guys to pay T. Higgins and to pay Jamar Chase and to keep the offense fine. Meanwhile, the defense has been a complete sieve, and if you think that firing Lou Anarumo is just going to solve everything, well, I don't think that you would agree with that either. Now, would you?
I wouldn't.
Exactly.
I would agree that today's visit with Dalton Risner is pretty big. So how about you pay attention to that one?
Oh, looky here. Okay. All right. James, thank you for the time.
Thanks, fellas.
Picking fights with me over there, saying that I want to listen. I just think it's smarter for their organization. That's all I say. There was a lot of trash talk you saw yesterday. Before we get back to the Joe Flacco thing, there was a lot of trash talk you saw yesterday during the Monday Night Football game, though.
Browns fans teeing off online about how susceptible the Bengals are, how we've had all this success against the Bengals, even in the Joe Burrow era, which we have. We have been able to beat them. Our defensive line has given them fits, and how one Joe Flacco is going to carve that Bengals defense.
You are going to hate this. I watched that defense last year in the regular season, and we had our problems. I've watched that defense this year in the preseason. It's just preseason. I've read all the reports. I've seen it. I don't think that just by replacing Lou Anarumo is gonna make all the difference in the world there. Let me tell you this, though. You're going to find out a lot week one. And week one tends to be sloppy football Not a lot of vets play. They're just getting their bearings. They tend to be sucking gas by the end of the game because they're playing in their first full football game in a year. For the Browns, I mean, we're talking about almost a full calendar year. But damn it, like, especially for the Bengals, too, they didn't make the playoffs either, did they?
No. Remember, they went on their surge at the end of the year.
We're gonna,
it was too little, too late.
I think we're really going to find out what type of season this is going to be offensively from week one. Because if Joe Flacco, the veteran, can't move the ball against this defense isn't good. And I know that you're just putting guys together for the first time. If you can't move the football with any decency against this team, it's probably going to be a long year regardless. It's going to be even longer than you think. Because if Joe, the veteran, against this is a bad defense. If Joe can't move it against this defense, like, he might be outgunned. Like, Joe Burrow's a really good quarterback. If he stays healthy, he can be one of the elite quarterbacks of the NFL. There's no doubt about that. You can be outgunned. They got a great offense in Cincinnati. They got two great weapons. I think that they should be a little worried about the running game, but they're not. Okay. So they can fly against anybody. If you lose 35-30, we're going to come in here and we're going to be very upset with the defense, obviously. But, man, if you just lose this game 16-10 because you can't – I mean, your defense is trying to do as best they can against Joe Burrow and two very good wide receivers. One's one of the best in the game. The other one could be a number one on a not-so-great football team, but he could definitely be a number one. If you can't do that, you're going to be a very frustrated person, because if Joe can't move the offense, I don't – unless Shador or Dylan is very, very special, or Kenny Pickett has this untapped situation that we don't know about, it's going to be very, very long, just like it was last year offensively, and it's going to be very, very boring. So I hope that they're writing checks the Browns fans can cash, because if they can't, it's going to be a really rough year, and I think you'll be able to tell from week one.
We are 5.5-point dogs at home to this same Cincinnati team that our fans, I wonder if the tide has turned, despite all the Shador and Dylan Gabriel stuff, now that Flacco is the starting quarterback, and you have had a bunch of people tell you, national people, well, national guys always hate on Cleveland. I haven't seen a lot of that lately. I've seen a bunch of national guys. They may not understand the four quarterback thing, but they're starting to look at the talent on the roster. They're starting to look at what kind of a season Myles Garrett might be able to put together. Some interesting rookies that me and you are both excited about. How often are me and you both excited about rookies that Andrew Berry drafted?
Not very often.
That has not happened very often.
Wait, which rookies are you excited about?
The two on the defense.
Okay. With Carson Swessinger?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't know you were excited about Carson Swessinger. I beg your pardon?
Should I not be?
No, I'm just asking, because it's easy for me to get excited about rookies for the Cleveland Browns. I'm an idiot for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You, on the other hand, it takes a little bit more to impress.
Mason Graham, I mean, we've been talking about trading down and getting Mason Graham from moment one when everybody else was talking about Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. We were like, this Mason Graham guy might be very interesting, especially alongside Myles Garrett, having somebody on the inside that can do the array of things that he could do. And he, by all accounts, has been impressing. I don't want to put too much on him, but he's a rookie. But holy cow, if that happens and this defensive line is all of a sudden really, really good despite the losses. Remember, we were talking about the guys they had lost over the last 4 years on that defensive line.
Yes.
They had never really been able to maintain an established group. And now they get younger, but maybe more interesting. I'm just wondering if the tide is turning with sentiment of the Browns fans. Like, forget about what Vegas says about you being one of the worst teams. Forget about who had their roster as one of the worst in the NFL. People that have actually been to camp are starting to talk about how talented they are. Is the tide turning?
I would like to hope so, but I've been fooled by preseasons before, so I'm gonna remain where I'm at. I know that John had said 7 wins. I want to ask John if he wants to recalibrate coming up at 8:00. I know some people have said some very nice things.
Was it Danny Cannell
said that they could win 9 or 10 games this year. I know that there's a recalibration going on here, but I can't do it because I haven't seen very much of the offense to really go on. I think that the defense should be close back to the form it was, because remember, Martin Emerson played really over his shoes in that first season. Last year was a disappointment. This year, now he's hurt, so I don't know what you're going to get. And you're still looking for a slot corner to a position that you're probably not going to be able to officially fill until after next Tuesday, because there's your initial 53, and then there's the 53 you're going to end with. So you might come out of camp with some guys, but then there might be some free agents that you could go out and get. And if I'm looking at my secondary for an important position and I still can't fill out my slot nickel corner there, I think that you're going to be in for a little bit of trouble. Now, Denzel Ward's great. You got other guys who could Grant Delpit and Greg Newsom have had a pretty good camp. That can help out as best they can. But damn it, like your offense is still going to have to be able to try to push the football. And you're going to find out, I think, week one, that is not a good defense. It's going to be week one. It's still going to be sloppy. I don't know if they're going to have Trey Hendrickson or not. I think Trey Hendrickson is dug in. Maybe the Bengals will come to their senses by the end of this sentence. But damn it, like, if they don't have Trey Hendrickson, it should be that much more advantageous for you. If you struggle to move the football on that team, I think you're in for a long season. You're probably in for a long season as it is anyway. But damn it, you're going to have a non-fun offense to watch. Because if the veteran can't do it to start off the year in week one, a guy who knows how to start a season, then I don't know if any of the rookies are going to be able to come in and do it. And then you could talk about how long the leash is going to be. You could just go ahead and throw a dartboard at the, or you could throw darts at the schedule. I don't know if it's going to change anything. Then it would probably be, if you're going in that classic sense, then you're hoping Joe can get you to either Kenny Pickett starts the season as the backup. You might start the season with four active. Or Kenny starts the season on the IR. Stashes on the IR. Then it's Dylan, then it's Shador. I think they're going to do it. I would do it differently, but they're going to do it Dylan, then Shador. You're not putting those guys in good situations, man. And now you're just hoping Joe can keep the wheels on the thing, or you can figure it out when you get it ready for week two against a team that people are picking to win 15 games this year.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, it was good to see the Cleveland Guardians back in the win column last night, 3-1 out in Arizona. And guys, if you'll indulge me for just a minute or two here, I want to take you guys back into the KFIS Corner. This is audio.
Hold up, Mitch.
Yes.
Before you go into the KFIS Corner, you got to introduce the KFIS Corner. Yeah. It's new.
Has a whole thing to it now, man.
He got it all and just juiced it to deep right field. Way out of here. CJ KFIS. What diving catch. He hung on.
KFIS.
Do the KFIS Corner.
It's time for KFIS Corner.
So I realized this is what happened real quick before Mitch goes off on it. Is Keith's like, I asked for the audio.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Where's the audio? I asked for the lighter. Where's the lighter? It's like, well, you had to get his name out there enough so you could make the open.
Yeah,
well done.
This stuff takes time.
Now and two home runs, a great big catch out right field on Friday, even though they lost.
And we had to get the rights. We had to get them from CCR. They had to sign off on this. No.
I've been talking to Fogarty every day
himself.
But he understands.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Mitch.
No, it's all right. The play that we mentioned previously might be added to the intro here very soon. This is via Last Night on Guardians TV.
TJ's not a, from a stature standpoint, he's not 6'5", right? He's not a Nolan Jones type presence in the batter's box.
But he got it. Just juiced it to deep right field, way out of here. Second home run of the year for CJ Kavis.
He is not a Nolan Jones presence in the box. He has one less home run than Nolan Jones does this year.
Who is the color analyst there? I feel bad for it. Wasn't Rick Manning. I feel bad for whoever it was. He's not the type of prep. Wham!
There's a 941st pitch. I don't know who the color is.
Good timing.
Poor guy.
We did have a clip from KFIS after the game talking about adjusting to big league pitching.
It's really just staying true to myself, knowing that I belong here and staying with my approach with the hitting coaches and all the work that we've done, just letting it all show out on the field.
Good to see him get back on track. His average dipped 95 points before yesterday in the span of about a week. But it's good to see him back.
Gavin, what'd you think of Gavin yesterday?
Which Gavin?
Oh, we're out of the corner now.
Gavin Williams.
Oh, I thought you were asking me about another Gavin. I didn't know if you were, I was like coming in hot Friday at 9:45. Gavin Williams. You take the good, you take the bad. He was good yesterday. I was a little bit concerned with Cade Smith. I woke back up and saw Cade Smith at the end, but I'm like, they held on. They won their 3-1. And I'll take any win I can get because right now we're at, what, 38 games left to go?
38 games left to go.
Paying attention to every single game now, man. We are in crunch time. Nick said something yesterday afternoon. I think that I agree with Nick on.
Okay.
Mark it down because it doesn't happen often. He's like, I think we're at the most critical time of the schedule for the Guardians after the weekend. After they lose 3 in a row to Atlanta, got 39 games left. You're on a 6-game road trip.
Well, thank God. Like, they didn't let balloon.
I think Nick's right, man. I think Nick's right. This is the critical mass week for this Guardians team. Either back in or all the way out, because you're writing some checks that some people are waiting to see. You're right. There are people, I think they want to argue with you about the Guardians, and I think in the back of their heads they're kind of hoping, like, you're either in or out, and if you're not in right now, I hope you fall out.
Yeah, I just think they're just not good enough for us to ever feel all that comfortable about them being able to make this playoff
run. I understand that.
I get, like, Owen has been confident. Did you waver after the 3-game losing streak?
No, I think they're still in. It's going to be... It looks like it's going to be down to the wire, though.
If they make the postseason, it's a nice thing for the team. But if they lose, they don't make the postseason, guys, coming out of the ALCS, you can always John Sterling it and say, hey, that's baseball. But that is a tremendous letdown and a disastrous season. If they go from the ALCS last year to not even making the postseason, yeah, you're going to have hell to pay. But
well, I see a bunch
you've
of people
been talking
that,
some trash to people.
I've already seen a bunch of people that won't even give them credit if they make the postseason.
Why?
Because they were in the ALCS last year. That means automatically they should be in the ALCS this year, even though everybody ripped their roster going into this year.
It is human nature to expect more out of some success. But I try to be respectful of the game of baseball in that way. But, man, you don't even make the postseason, you're going to have more hell pay over it than a little bit.
Speaking of expecting more for this season, the Cincinnati Bengals, who played last night against Washington and won that game. However, one of the stories from last night, Joe Burrow having some trouble with his offensive line early on in the game.
Burrow steps through, hangs on, and is spinning around looking for a block. Go down, Joe. It's August. And they're going to give him progress.
Audio courtesy of ESPN. We kind of talked about this in the last segment, but they just can't put a line together. Is this a good idea to have Burrow out this much in the preseason?
Surprising to me a little bit, because we had already seen him play well on a couple of drives the previous week. So what more do you need to see from him in the offense? It's the defense you worry about. But then again, do you even want the defense out there in case somebody gets injured? You're already real thin. I don't know. It's a very interesting strategy. I think it's because they got off to such a slow start last year, including Burrow. Burrow was not good at the start of the year.
No.
So that's the reason. But I think after we saw him last week, what more do you need to see?
Now I'm getting nasty texts from Keith.
As you deserve.
Why?
As you deserve.
It was, yes, there's seasons that are in a critical mass. Maybe I was a little bit premature. On June 16th.
Whoopsie daisy.
I agreed with Nick.
So wait, what's
There's
the problem?
38 games left. How could it not be at a critical mass? They were playing like garbage back in June. What the hell do you want from me?
Wait, what Keith?
So
what?
When are they at critical
you
mass?
Ass?
Hold on, what is the complaint?
I don't know. Keith just wants to, any chance he gets, he
what
wants
did
to
he
go
say?
After.
Keith, just say what he
Keith
said.
Keith referenced critical mass points in season for Ken, June 16th and August 19th. And then TBD.
I think people are pretty much week to week with this team, and they've been that way for a while. I mean, if you have a good week, hey, they look like they could actually get to the playoffs.
A yay
bad
boo
week.
Situation.
I think that's all it is. Nobody feels that great about them. And the people that feel bad about them, I told you, I think they're rooting against them.
They do have games against the Mariners and Red Sox coming up. So that'll be a big
one. Just a great big fat distraction.
Speaking of Joe Burrow, one of his
I've
former
got
head
my own great big fat distraction in here.
One of his
and
former
I underline fat and bald. You're doing both of it, Keith.
One of his.
He literally shaved his head. Is that permanent?
Probably should be. He didn't even notice he did it.
He didn't need to.
That's one of my biggest
fears. You
could
barely see the power alleys out there. It looked like a Little League baseball field with no fence.
Kafis covers those.
That might have been a little too far. I might get in a little trouble for that.
Finally here, one of Joe Burrow's former coaches, Ryan Day, and now making a big announcement for Ohio State yesterday, officially going with his QB1.
Julian Sain will be the starting quarterback against Texas. It was a close competition. I think both guys, we all feel confident, can win a game for us. I think Julian separated himself really over the last week with his consistent play. I feel like our guys are confident again with both quarterbacks. I think we'll need both quarterbacks.
Say, I was going to say that last point there. We'll have both the quarterbacks there potentially. How long is the leash for Julian Sain early on?
Hopefully nice and long because I don't really know how to say the other guy's name.
Keenholz?
Yes.
So I thought there was an L in there forever.
I know. I thought it was Kleinholtz and it was Keenholtz, and one more guy was saying it different just to mess people. I didn't care. What are you looking at with Julian Sain? What are you telling me here?
Well, I'm making
sure. You keep
sure.
showing me pictures. They can't see the pictures I'm yet. We're not sure. YouTube Live just yet.
Yeah, I'm making sure Ken sees the pictures.
And you want to ask me if I can see this guy winning a national championship?
Do you ever do this? Because I've definitely done this.
You've done this with head coaches, I'm sure.
I've done it with everybody. Yeah. Let's be honest. I've done it with all sorts of guys across the board in every sport. When you look at a guy, do you ever make those same snap judgments that I do? And I've been proven wrong. Joe Burrow won a national championship, then went to the Super Bowl. Looking at Joe Burrow, and I saw him in high school, he was amazing. But I'm just talking about, here's a picture of the guy. He was just named the starting quarterback. What do you think? Do you have a gut feeling on just what Julian Sain looks like?
Let me see him again. Let me see the young man again. Yeah, I think it's a national championship-looking quarterback.
Owen? You don't have to be right. I'm not saying you have to be right.
Wait a minute. Sure. All right, hold on. National.
Sure, he could win a. I think that Scarlet and Gray gives him a much better look at being a national championship quarterback.
Well,
that
is true. If he was wearing a Kent State jersey.
Hey!
what are you defending Kent State football for?
I don't know.
Shut up. Why would you do that? I'm just saving
Swap
you.
Him.
Did you see the look he gave me? No, you can't because this is radio. He got mad at me.
Swap him and Drew Aller out.
I'm just
out
saving you from your own like. Embarrassment. Ooh. Don't defend Kent State football. I don't defend Akron
we
football.
We will be back once we get Josh Cribbs on the sideline. That's it for about last night.
Now you're talking. First thing you've made sense with all damn day.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.